you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hello, friends. Lee Brown here, and you have landed on Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you get to learn right along with me. Today, our guest is Sunil Saxena. He is a developer in the Washington, D.C. metro area. He's not only going to tell you about an experience he had that makes zero sense to me at all, but we also have a discussion about developer life and the cost of housing. Really be going about 14 directions. So get ready to enjoy from an expert in the marketplace, and I'll see you on the other side.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Hello, friends. You can see that there's a new face with me today, which means a new experience for you and a wonderful new source of information. So, Sunil Saxena, I'm so glad that you're willing to come on the show and chat with us a little bit about the crazy side of real estate.
Absolutely. Very happy to be here and happy to chat and answer any questions.
Perfect. So I hope you will give us just a little 30-second snapshot of who you are and what you do in and around related to the real estate space.
Yeah, I've been doing real estate for 20 years now. I'm actually a medical doctor. I went to medical school. I graduated really early from medical school when I was 23 years old, practiced emergency medicine for about 8 years. Just got kind of tired of the rat race and the nights, weekends, evenings, all that stuff. Yeah, exactly.
You got into real estate? I mean, let's talk about this for a minute.
Yeah, I'm a real estate developer, so that's what I do.
So that's interesting. So why actually was real estate the draw getting out of medicine? Because obviously when you put that kind of effort into getting to that point, because that's no small thing. And emergency medicine is something where you actually have one of the broadest expertise in medicine because you have to be able to respond to every possible situation. Why real estate? Like, were you attracted to this by your parents, or did you buy a cool house one time, or what was it that sparked it, do you think?
Yeah. No, I think I've always been an entrepreneur. I even remember, like, when I was in college, I was like, you know, Subway franchises had just come out. I was like, maybe I'll buy some of those. But I was in a medical program, so, you know, I thought about it for 2 seconds and kind of got back into hit the books. So I think I've always been an entrepreneur. So I actually tried a bunch of different things. I had a medical device company for a while. I was chief medical officer. My ex-wife and I had dental practices. So I have a lot of expertise in the dental world, like the business side of dentistry. But really, real estate is just the best business, man. I mean, it just it allows a great lifestyle. You can make the most amount of money per time. I mean, obviously, I work hard, but I don't feel like I work as hard as I do for the amount of money I make. I enjoy building. I'm more of a developer. So I enjoy like seeing the whole process of taking either kind of a rundown property or a brand new lot and seeing something cool, you know, happen at the end of it. So I highly recommend real estate for everybody. I really think it's, you know, the best business, the way to go.
So when you jump into developing, there's a lot of people in real estate that see that as the golden goose and that's where they want to go one day. But the space between regular person and developer involves not just capital, but it involves an insane amount of information, whether it's the actual building process or it's the supply chains or it's the regulatory and the permitting and all of that. So did you have a mentor when you came into that space, or did you really just go to YouTube and start figuring things out on your own?
Yeah, no, I just kind of figured it out. I mean, I started with small rehabs. You know, when I first started making $50,000 on a deal, it was like, oh my God, I taking like a, you know, a house and just rehabbing it, you know, nothing major. Then I moved to bigger rehab or like something that can teach you to be a real estate developer. I think it's just more, you know, you got to kind of do it over time.
All right. So of course, my show is Crazy Shit in Real Estate, yeah, which the premise being all the things about the real estate space that you never expect, but you really have no choice except to plow your way right through it. So I'd love to know in your journey from ER doctor to rehabber to developer to somebody who now is able to share that expertise with other people as you scale yourself, mm-hmm, what have you seen that makes you say, y'all are never going to believe this?
Well, I mean, there's probably a lot of things. I can actually tell you more stories from the emergency room that you probably wouldn't believe.
But, okay, so we'll tell those later because one of my best friends, his ex-husband is an ER nurse, and the stories are they're very jaw-dropping. And why is there not a podcast of those, Sunil? I mean, somebody should be telling stories from the ER.
I could do it in about an hour from the ER. So. But in real estate, I don't know. It's just, I think it's like running a business, right? You just never know what's going to happen. I operate primarily in DC. So more of my issues are DC, more DC specific. I'm amazed still in DC how we really have almost like, I guess I call it the socialist republic of DC, where the government can kind of control, like, you know, how you rent your property, how you build your property. So really our biggest things are just, you know, dealing with neighbors and them, like, you know, either filing a lawsuit or complaining, and they have so much input on what you can build. Probably one of the biggest things I learned was I was developing two condo buildings. This is 2012 or 13, you know, building was going fine. Everything was fine. We were building, the neighbor didn't like what we were doing and called DCRA, which is our, you know, government authority on us a number of times, and finally sued us. And really it was kind of interesting because the lawsuit, like, she didn't even really say what was the complaint. And it dragged on for 2 years because of the court system in DC. Just they were able to drag it on. And it took me 4 years to develop those buildings that should have probably taken me a year. So just the amount.
She didn't have a complaint. She just got a lawyer and said, let's be a fly in the ointment over here.
Yeah, because their lawsuit, there was never like even a clear, like, what were you, you know, because we could have addressed it, right? She said, hey, here's what my issues with you. We could have addressed it. But because of the way the court system works in DC, she just kind of filed the lawsuit and sat on it. And the court system is so slow that it was like 2 years had gone by before we were able to get a resolution. We ended up having to pay her. We just paid her to go away. So I think that was her strategy going into it, was just to make money off of me.
Which is awful because as a developer, it drives me completely crazy how many people act like developers are of the devil. But right, if you don't have developers with a vision for putting something together in place, right, that's why we don't have enough available rooftops in the country right now. I mean, we have this supply shortage, and it's right, because too many neighbors yell and fuss about rooftops near them, and too many municipalities allow things like this with unnecessary lawsuits and unnecessary court involvement when you're trying to create a place for somebody to live.
Absolutely, that's what we're doing. Exactly. We're just trying to create a beautiful home for somebody, a safe, brand new, modern home that they can enjoy for years to come. And that's you mentioned that. It's crazy because, again, now you got me going on the government in D.C., but Muriel Bowser, our mayor, who's like our governor, talks all the time about the lack of affordable housing, the lack of housing in DC, and we need more housing. She talks all the time about that. Yet the reality is her own government is literally every step of the way they try to, like, you know, mess with us and try to, like, you know, I know a majority, like a significant number of people that just won't work in DC. They won't develop in DC. They won't work at all in DC because it's so difficult. But yeah, that's exactly how the government runs. You've got them kind of saying the both things and they're not doing anything in the middle, really.
Well, there's a wonderful theory out there that I believe is 100% true, that politicians have a vested interest in not fixing problems, because how would you run for office in the future if you didn't have a problem to scare the life out of people? They don't want to run on happy solutions. They want to run on fear, which, yeah, to me is the biggest problem we have in the country, is the sheer volume of fear that keeps people from doing cool things. Because you talk about what's happening in DC. Are you also an investor in real estate yourself?
I have investment properties as well. Yeah, exactly.
So the rental moratorium in Washington, D.C. is worse than everywhere else in the country. But I was glad to see a little glimmer of light, because many property owners have come together and said, at least for public safety reasons, there are certain people that need to get evicted, because the narrative around people that live in rental properties is that, oh, poor them, they should never have to pay rent. But if you have somebody in there who's a criminal, a drug addict, or they're selling drugs out of a unit and poisoning a neighborhood, that's somebody that needs to go for the safety of the neighbor. So at least there's finally going to be a little bit of reasonable action there. But let's go backwards and talk about affordability for just a minute, because one of the things I find the public doesn't understand, and God bless them, a lot of realtors don't understand, is that there's this push that says, just build less expensive stuff. And I keep explaining to them over and over that the cost of goods has gone way up, whether you're a private developer or a nonprofit. And also the cost of regulation and permitting has gone up astronomically because there's overlays that keep getting added by bureaucrats. So as a developer, knowing that there are certain costs that are baked into the process, what do you think the regular public should know about the process? And what do you think should be fixed, honestly? I want the Sunil solutions.
Oh boy, now you're opening up a can of worms for me. I don't know what I should say or not say here, but what you're saying is,
I'm a free market girl. Say anything you want.
Yeah. Your American look, you got everything's red, white, and blue today. It's like 4th of July.
every day.
But, yeah, exactly. You sound like my kind of girl there. I mean, the cost of goods, yeah, we've seen that last 6 months or even up to a year. I think a lot of that is coronavirus and pandemic related, the spike in demand we've experienced. I think it's going to settle back down a little bit here. But yeah, I mean, we have to make money, right, as a developer. So obviously anytime it goes up, we have to pass that to our customers. So what we've seen recently in the last 6 months of first half of this year is that our construction costs are about 10% higher, but yet we're selling for at least 10% higher as well. So we're making money, we're fine, but unfortunately the end user is going to have to pay more for the property. But what you mentioned really is, I think, problems. I saw that in emergency medicine as well, where the government comes in, it's like unfunded mandates. They just tell you, you have to do X, Y, and Z, you have to comply, and they don't care how to pay for it. They don't care. So in the emergency room, for example, we had to we can't turn a patient away, which is the way it should be. But someone's got to pay for that care. So, that's why a lot of hospitals, DC General, went under out of business because no one could pay. So it's the same thing we're seeing in development. I mean, in Arlington, where I built a lot of houses right here in Arlington, Virginia, where I'm at right now, they've enacted like crazy stormwater management stuff, which increases our costs on houses, anywhere from like $20,000 to $50,000 per house.
Wait. Just stormwater. That one item is $20,000 to $50,000 per house?
That's what we have to do. I haven't built a house here in about 2 years now, but it's like just all the stormwater management, the things we have to do, the compliance, it adds, I'd say, minimum $20,000 per house. Yep.
The thing about that is that it's such a hidden cost, because as a developer, if you explain that to a buyer, they're like, oh, whatever. It would never hit the media because it's not sexy. And so bureaucrats see that as a chance to say, well, you rich developers can just pay it. But my question to you is, I'll give you a kind of a philosophical question with the stormwater management. Is that 50 grand that you're paying solving anything where it comes to impervious area and catch basins and drainage, or is it going into the black hole?
I think it's 80 to 90% in the black hole. I mean, maybe it's helping a little bit. But again, I mean, we've got a big problem with Chesapeake Bay and stormwater, runoff and things like that. So I'm all for fixing that problem. But that's exactly what the bureaucrats do, right? They come in and they put all these fixes in that cost us money, the taxpayers or the citizens, but they don't fix the problem. So I'd say 80 to 90% of what they make us do doesn't really do anything. But, that's just the way it is.
All right. So if you were going to pick your favorite real estate market to be a developer in, where would you be developing right now?
Obviously I still like the DC metro area and DC, because again, at the end of the day, it's a very stable market. There's a lot of reasons why I'm here. I haven't left in 20 years. I keep thinking about going somewhere else. We've opened a Florida office. We're doing some stuff in Southeast Florida right now. But aside from that, I think you just have to look at, the economics of the market, right? Is it stable? What kind of profits can you make? Those kind of things. And obviously I've got an expertise here now as well. So I know this market. I know how to deal with most of the nonsense that comes our way. So I would still pick right here where I'm at. Having said all that bad stuff.
Right, so what advice would you give to a person who's listening to you thinking, he's so high energy and he obviously loves what he's doing. I want to have energy. I want to love what I'm doing too. What would you tell a burgeoning developer about getting themselves started? What's the first resource they should go to do some education in the market where they live? Where do they get started, Sunil? I think that's part of what gets people into their places of inertia. They don't know what the first step is.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously check out my social media. I've got a ton of stuff out there that I talk about how to do this. The first step is educate yourself. That's what I did when I started. I still remember going to my first RIA, which is Real Estate Investor Association. I didn't even know the difference between a wholesaler and a rehabber. I didn't even know what that was. So I started from ground zero, just like anybody else out there. You got to educate yourself. I've got on my social media, I've got my link to my top 100 books. I've got my top 50 books in real estate. I would recommend that. I'd recommend to go into your local real estate associations, networking, conferences, anything to educate yourself. Then you'll start seeing a path forward, like, oh, I could actually do this. And then you start implementing that path and going from there.
You know, somebody sent me a book with a bookmark that had their top 100 books on it. So maybe you should make a bookmark and give it away. But I want to ask you if in their top 10, there's a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Is that in your top 100?
My top 100, absolutely.
And there's also, let's see, oh, there's another big time real estate book on here that people should always read. How about Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill?
I don't know if I put that in my top 100, but I would recommend it. I've read that book. I would definitely, I can't remember what's in my top 100. I've read them all, but.
Now you've got to get yourself organized, because I can guarantee you that all of my nerdy followers are going to be like, but I want the list, Sunil. Give me the top 100.
Go to my social media. It's right there. So the link is right there.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show and bringing so much great energy to us. And for sharing that it's okay to change career paths, even if you've been heavily invested in something that was working, there could be something that works better. So if you're a younger person listening to this, let both of us remind you that there might be a pathway where you'll find even more fulfillment. And sometimes it just takes jumping out there. So Sunil, thank you for coming on the show and for giving us some insights into a developer's mind. Guys, you got to go follow and learn, because if you want to do great things, go do the research.
Absolutely. So thank you for having me. I enjoyed being here. And, you know, any questions, let me know.
And all of his handles and social media and all the links will be in the show notes for this episode. So if you're listening to this while you're sweating to the oldies, no stress, go click and follow. And let me know what you learn that is intriguing, because I love when you guys take action steps. So Sunil, I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you in person at some point, and we'll see you around the corner.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or people you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.